God says to do, they found ways not to do that. And so Jesus says in Mark 7, he goes after the Pharisees, the religious people, who Jesus had a problem with. So when I go out in the streets to minister, I'm always amazed. The homeless guy in the gutter thanks me, will give me a hug. He says, hey, brother, thanks me when I preach the gospel to him. And even though he doesn't repent, he's not born again, we walk away kind of loving on each other. Sure. Usually when I meet religious people and I preach the gospel to them, they get angry. Usually. And when we go out and street preach, like we'll go to festivals and things, you know what they do? They call the police on us.
Oh, sure.
And when we stand outside religious bodies on public property, we don't go inside and stop their services, but we stand with gospel signs, and I'll open air preach. The Bible says, lift up your voice, preach. They call the police on us. And the police show up, see I'm legal, and go, you're fine. And I get to witness the gospel to them. And so the gospel is an enemy to this world, to the culture, and it's an enemy to evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, whatever. It's an enemy because what it does is it calls you to a different citizenship. We just finished 4th of July, right? We preached at a 4th of July festival. A lot of people there call themselves Christians. But yet, they're linked with the citizenship and the culture of the world, and Jesus said, my sheep are not of the world. And if you look at, like, give example, 4th of July, do a history study. It was built on war and killing.
Yeah.
For 3% tax, America went to war and killed people. Does that sound like Jesus Christ to you? But yet, do not people yell out, God bless America? So I have a question. Knowing America is the world's leader in pornography, knowing America is a violent nation, knowing America is built on war and a warmongering nation, knowing America leads in sexual perversion now with sodomy, lesbian, transgenderism. What is this? This is insane. Why should God bless America? So, I gave you a whole bunch. We travel full time. We don't take anyone's money. I support myself. We don't belong to any group. We know saints scattered all over the world. And I go out and I preach the biblical gospel. I'll give you a gospel card.
Cool.
There's the gospel right there. Faith in Jesus Christ, his shed blood. He's fully man. He's fully God. He will cleanse you of your sin. He defeated death for you because death's coming for you and he's coming for us too. Christ defeated death for us. But most of the evangelical message today is believe in Jesus. He did it all and you're done. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. That's the beginning. What Jesus did is open the gate for you and I. The gate was closed because of our sin.
Yeah.
We were lost in sin and transgressions and Jesus said, I've come to show you the way. Now let me ask you a question. If I invited you to my house, and I opened my big gates in front. You couldn't get in unless I opened my gates for you.
Right.
And I pressed the button. What's your first name?
Andrew.
Andrew. I'm Jim. This is my wife, Debbie. And I said, Andrew's here. Press the button, honey. She presses the door, our big gates, and the gates are open. Now, we made the way for you to come in. What must you do? And then while you're on my property, you probably got to keep the rules. Otherwise, I'm going to throw you out. Okay. So yeah. I just gave you a representation of the Father.
Yeah.
And through Christ opening the gate, and if we will repent, so his blood, his death, if we will repent, we change our minds. We were worldly drunks. We were not born this way. We didn't come out of some religious group. She was a Lutheran and I was other things, but I mean, we didn't come out of that into some other religious group. We came into the Word of God and we rejected all that because when you have faith in Christ and you repent of all your sin in this culture and man-made religion, God sees a willing vessel and then you get a new heart and a new mind. You're born again. People in America will tell you they're born again, but when you ask them about sin, most Christians in America are pretty okay with sin.
Yeah.
They go, you sin all the time, the culture's sinful, we're all going to sin. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says sin is like light and dark.
Yeah.
Right? So faith, oh, I'm sorry. When I start preaching, I get run over sometimes. So faith, repentance, being born again, and then the fruit you're born again isn't you just join a church and go there and get baptized and go there, do pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter. These are pagan holidays that God never ordained. What man has done is said, well, we know they're pagan. Christians tell me all the time, yeah, we know Christmas is pagan, but we've made it acceptable. We like it and we do it. And I go, what is God like? What does God want? And the last man I witnessed to, he said, well, it's our holy day. And his dentures, he was an older guy, his dentures almost fell out when I said, who makes days holy, sir? He goes, God alone. I said, you've made it holy, not God. So holiness and obedience to the scriptures and conforming your life your ways. The Bible tells us how to preach, how to associate, how to spend our money, how to dress, how to come out of the culture. The Bible teaches all these things. And that's the fruit that you're born again. And then the last part is, we're not Calvinists. That's another rampant theology. People will tell you, Andrew, raise your hand, say a prayer. You're going to heaven no matter what. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you must endure in your faith. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. You have to endure in your marriage?
Yes.
Does your wife have to?
Yes.
Do you have a job?
Yes.
You have to endure in your job?
Yes.
You're an American citizen. Do you have to endure in all the rules?
Yes.
So this idea that God loves you unconditionally, I challenge you to find one scripture verse that backs it up anyway. God loves us conditionally in Jesus, who came to die for us. If we'll repent, we'll be born again. Then we follow him, and what we do is we shed sin. Now, I don't teach sinless perfection. I can't walk through this life and never sin. But I can walk through this life and hate my sin. I can walk through this life and not live in my sin. Every day when I sin, if I get angry, I have to say, Father, that's not of you. That's of my flesh. Father, renew me, cleanse me, forgive me of that. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus, and I go on to the next day. And if I do it the next day willfully, I'm in great danger unless I repent and keep asking for this renewing and this refreshing to live. No different. Your wife. I bet if your wife did the worst sin that you could think of, you'd probably be willing to forgive her because you love her if her heart was right. But what if she kept doing that worst sin every week? On purpose, willfully. You would say, honey, I love you, I forgive you, but like say she ran with another man.
It would harden my heart to her.
You would say, your heart's not right. We can't have this covenant. And that's where I'm glad you brought that up. Covenant. You can't have a relationship with Jesus per the scripture. You know, relationship with Jesus. I have a relationship with my wife. You have a relationship with your wife. I have a relationship with you. We could have. We're in person. We're talking. What we have in Christ is he went to be with the Father. He's not here anymore in the flesh. He said, I'll manifest myself to you via the Spirit. So we have him in the Spirit. We don't have him visiting us. He's not talking to us. Through the Word, through the Spirit echoing the Word, we have a covenant with God. This changes everything. Because if you say, I got a relationship with Jesus, he died for my sins, I'm all covered, that's a different Jesus. If you say, I have a covenant with God, he sent his son and shed his blood for me. And the covenant is he did his part fully. He's done. When Jesus said, it is finished.
Right.
You know what that means, Andrew? His work is done. Yours and mine is still going on. And now he says, come, follow me. And he says, strive in Luke 13. And all these worldly Christians that tell me, oh, you're working your way to heaven and you have a fear of God. And I ask them, why did Jesus say strive to enter in? Why does Paul in Philippians say work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Here's why. Because as much as you're born again and have a new heart, you got a wicked flesh you're dragging around. And so do I. And we have to fight that the rest of our life. And Satan can come in, like with Judas. And Satan can say, Andrew, yeah, you got a good marriage, but boy, that lady likes you a lot.
Yeah.
You can ruin your marriage. Or Andrew, I know you have faith in Jesus, but look at this group over here, what they teach. And you can go and commit spiritual adultery against God. So we must endure, we must strive, and we can have the assurance of salvation today. You've repented of all your sin and you're willing to walk in holiness. You have the assurance of salvation today. If you die today, if I die today, I'm expecting to go to heaven. You know what? I got to get up tomorrow. I got to get up next week. I got to get up next month and next year. And I got to walk in his ways as fruit that I'm following him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The American churchianity says, you're good, Andrew.
Right.
You're good.
Right.
So that's our ministry. My website has thousands of articles. We don't take people's money. I don't want your money. I want you to open the scriptures, go deep, and test everything you've ever been taught in Christianity. And that includes test my words to the scriptures. And most people aren't testing to the scriptures.
Where's the next stop?
Where's the next stop? Don't know. We're headed west for a while, and then we have to curve down south, and then we're headed out, way out west. So okay. We don't make too many long distance plans because I want to be spirit led.
Yeah.
So we just rolled into town, and I always believe these are God appointed meetings. And God brought us out this way, and we just witness as we go. I have lots of street preaching videos on my website. You can see if you ever know any ladies interested in the things of God. My wife has a sister's blog.
Cool.
You notice how my wife is quiet? We don't teach that women should teach men. It's clear in the Bible. But she does teach women on the women's issues. And that's another thing in America where, if you've noticed, my wife is a good representation of a Christian woman about 200 years ago.
Yeah.
What happened? Feminism came in, like Satan in the garden, and said, you don't want to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You could speak up. You're as good as a man, or you know it. What we're 245 years into America. America has been part of denominational Christianity for 245 years. Look around. That's the fruit of denominational America. Have you ever seen the youth today? I'm appalled every time I run into teenagers. They are most disrespectful, wicked, paganized, into the occult, fornication. The young girls are brazen, showing their bodies. We were out witnessing Andrew the other day, and some little girl, 10 years old, her parents walked over. Her dad was bigger than you. Her dad was like 6'6". He's like this huge guy. He walked right by me, and I'm street preaching. He sends his 11-year-old daughter over to tell us that God doesn't exist, that we're fools. And when she left us, she had this little outfit on, little shorts when she left us. She was like sauntering like a harlot. 11-year-old girl. And I just ran into a whole church youth group. You can see a video of it on my website in, help me, what town was it? Wisconsin. Ashland. Ashland, Wisconsin. We were way up north. And this whole church youth group, they're smoking. They're disrespecting me, an elder man, you know, elderly man. Disrespectful, didn't listen to the gospel when I preach it to him. This is the fruit. This is your youth groups. Here's, let's go there. And I don't know what body you're, if you are associated with the body. Youth groups. The Bible says teach the young men and young women to be sober-minded.
Yeah.
How do they draw people today in church? Goofy, silly, shaving cream on ourselves, pool parties, Super Bowl parties. That's not of God. What did it teach? A young man, 12 years old, is going to learn from you and I to be sober, to be mature, to grow up, how to preach the gospel, not how to put peanut butter on his toes and stick juju beads on him. Literally, that's what pastors are doing. How? Why? I should say why. Draws numbers.
Yeah.
And Jesus said few are going to find eternal life. I've got articles on few. 8 people of all the world got on the ark. How many came out of Sodom, which most historians say there was probably tens of thousands in that city. It was a big trading city. 3 come out of Sodom. In Israel, after they come out of Egypt, they're sinful, right? God runs them around in a circle because they're sinful. He could have took them right into the Holy Land. They were sinful. They're complaining. They're not. You know how many out of 600, the Bible tells us, 600,000 men. You know how many entered into the Holy Land? Joshua and Caleb. When Jesus speaks of few, he's talking about the Old Testament. Jesus, the greatest preacher on earth for 3 years, God himself, the greatest preacher that ever lived, had 120 followers after a 3-year ministry. Few. So when you look around, you see Christian America. The culture is going to be few. I'd say it's going to be as few in the Christian churches, because Jesus says in Mark 7, if you keep man-made traditions, if you defend your sin, if you defend your flesh, you worship God in vain. So God's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and truth. So that's what I travel to preach. It's not popular. Most people just want to, Jesus loves you.
Right.
And you're good to go. Just believe in him. That's the beginning of the gospel. It's like you got married probably on a Saturday one time. Right? So is that the day you got married? Saturday?
Yeah.
That's the beginning.
Right.
Every day after. In 30, 40 years, you're going to know whether you were successful or not. Not what you showed up on that day Saturday.
Right.
And this is the problem in Christian America. Yeah, I got baptized. I raised my hand. Got dipped in that trough. June 27, 1987. And I ask people, what's God doing in your life today? Are you obeying him? Oh, you sound like a legalist. You got to obey God. And I'm like, was Jesus a legalist? He said, if you want my love, keep my commandments.
Right.
You want to be my friend, keep my commandments. Because God knows what's good for us. And Paul said in Galatians, I'm just dealing with a guy. This man said to me, oh, you can't stop sinning. You sin every day. And I said, well, I don't teach sinless perfection. And if we walk in the flesh, we will sin nonstop.
Right.
But if we walk in the Spirit, Paul says right in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the false pastors in America have convinced everybody you can't beat sin. You can't defeat sin. You got to walk in your flesh. Don't do that. Don't try to be holy, Andrew, because you're going to be all alone. Nobody's like that. And Satan's got everybody convinced you got to be in a building with a whole bunch of people to be biblical.
Right.
God's word says the opposite. He says, come out from those places. Noah stood alone in a wicked generation, and it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, in the last days. And I preach that all the time. People are sitting, eating, drinking, they're laughing, making merry. And I go, this is what Jesus said it's going to be like. And then destruction comes.
Suddenly.
And so this is why I go and travel to street preach, to meet people like you that'll just listen. And what I'm doing is I got no truth. I got nothing. I'm just an old man with a beard traveling around. I got nothing. But what I do have is the words of God and the parable of the sower. So I'm just like this. My wife and I are just like this. We're just out in the world. Whoever sees our signs, goes to our website, we're just throwing seeds all over, and we're trusting in the Father that they'll fall on fertile ground. We know plenty are eaten up by Satan. Plenty spring up a little bit. Yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And as soon as people see the cost, they go, I got to leave friends and family? Well, if they want to keep sinning, you can't be united to that. I might lose my job. I lost my career job. Can you imagine this, Andrew? I was a salesman. Driving around in a brand new car. I was a salesman. And as my life transformed into a biblical Christian, growing the beard, changing how I dress, changing how I act, not going to their parties anymore. See, I'd love going to their parties, but they tell me, you don't go to the parties. You can't talk about God at the parties. I would have been like Jesus. I would have went, let them drink and party. And if I saw people, I'd say, hey, I've come to share with you truth. No, don't come to our parties and talk about God. They don't want that. They talk about porn. They talk about sports. They talk about everything. Do not talk about God. So as I developed as a Christian, I lost my career job. Best thing that ever happened to me, because if I didn't let that go, you and I wouldn't be standing right here talking.
Right.
And we have a little homestead in Missouri, in the middle of Missouri. We've sold everything we own except for that homestead. And we have a beautiful homestead. It sits in the middle of the woods. There's a beautiful ravine. The deer and the turkeys come up. We live off-grid. We've got a porch. I can sit on my porch. They come right up, and it's so peaceful and so quiet. But you know what? We travel in our van and live in our van and sleep in parking lots, and we don't go to campgrounds. We do everything really low-end. And I tell people all the time, I can't meet you if I'm sitting on my porch.
Right.
You know, you never would have found Don't Perish if I didn't drive through here and I didn't preach you. People do find us on the internet. But so this is why we go. This is why we do this, to wake people up from their slumber, from the lie of man-made religion, from the lie of the culture, and to just go into the scriptures. Does all that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been talking a lot. Do you have any questions?
No.
No?
No. I just want to see what you guys were about.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And check it out.
Yep, check it out. Don'tperish.com. That's my cell phone number. You could text me. You can email me.
Cool.
And here's my offer to you. You read my website. If you find something I've got wrong, call me. Text me, email me. I want to know about it.
I wouldn't say you have anything wrong.
I'm testable.
I might have a question.
Yeah, I'm testable, I'm teachable, and I have to be, because otherwise, what kind of man of God is not testable, teachable?
Yeah, right.
You're to prove all things.
Yeah.
And so what I ask people when they do that, though, is don't bring their opinions.
Right.
Don't bring their history. Bring me scripture.
Yeah.
Like right now, I have a man telling me, Jesus poured out every single drop of his blood. That's his theology. And I said, what verse says that? He can't show me one. Here's another big one. We're saved by grace alone, faith alone. That's like the mantra all over evangelicalism. You cannot go. You can spend your whole life. You cannot go and find one verse that says right. You're saved by grace alone. We're saved by grace.
Right.
We're saved by faith.
Faith.
Yep. And then we're saved by faith. The only place it appears not alone, it appears alone, is in the book of James, which shoots them down, where James says, you are not saved by faith alone, that a man is justified by his work. So if you tell me you love your wife, I don't know you. I'm going to take you by, are you faithful to her? Do you protect her? Do you care for her? If I saw you running with a harlot, Andrew says he loves his wife. That's not his wife. You're a liar.
Right.
So faith and works go together. We don't teach you work your way to heaven, but what happens is when the Spirit of God's in you, you now hate your sin and you strive against it. That's the fruit that God's working in you. Kind of like a police officer. He wouldn't keep his job too long if he was stealing stuff. They'd catch him and throw him in jail.
Sure.
And everybody, it's amazing to me, Andrew, in this culture, everyone has this high standard for their own life. Like this man I'm refuting right now, he tells me, oh, you're working your way to heaven, you're going to sin all the time, you sin every day, you can't stop sinning. And I said, you're a liar. I sin, but I don't live in my sin.
Right.
When my flesh gets out of line, the other day, or 2 months ago, a man screamed in my ear when I was street preaching. I was just street preaching. He was wherever. He came walking over, screamed in my ear as loud as he could. I'm an old fighter. I grew up a fighter. My first thought that went through, I'll be honest with you, my first thought that went through my head, elbow to the nose, and he would have been laid out clean. That's the first thing that went through my mind was, bam, put him down. And I went, oh, Lord, that was sinful and fleshly. I can't do that. So I do sin, but I don't live my sin.
Right.
I repent of it, and I leave that. And then I turned to him and I said, really, you want a piece of me, sir? I love you. You need to stand down. The preaching of God makes you angry. You need to test your heart. He was claiming to be a Christian. But this faith alone idea, grace alone. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. And it's a recipe.
Right.
It's a recipe. You go home and your wife's going to make bread. And I always use this example. My wife used to homestead. She used to make bread. Bread is flour alone. No. Flour's a big part of it. Bread is yeast alone. No, try eating just that yeast. It tastes terrible. Bread is water alone. No, it's flour. It's water. It's yeast. It's salt. And it's a beautiful recipe. But man and Satan have reduced it down, and it's called easy believism, greasy grace, just believe. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches if the Spirit of God is in you, you will be empowered to live a godly, holy life. And that's why they're demeaning to God. See, they say we're trying to outwork God to work our way to heaven, but the opposite is true. We're glorifying God because He's transformed us by the power of His Spirit. And what a witness, people that know us, they go, man, you guys used to be drunks, fornicators, and blasphemers, openly and the worst of the worst. And we go, we used to be that. God's transformed us in our heart and our minds. Now you tell me, what's more powerful? Being transformed to walk in holiness or going, yeah, we sin all the time, but our Heavenly Father, He's going to wash it all away because Jesus did it. Like if your father was Jeff Bezos, the richest guy on earth, you think you'd be respecting your father if you pull out a wallet, a $1,000 bill and said, watch this, my daddy's so rich, I can burn money.
Right.
Is that respecting your father?
No.
You would say, I honor my father. He meets my needs. I don't waste his resources. So there's a lot of wrong mindsets going on out there from, again, Roman Catholicism all the way down to all these other things. And if you test to the Word of God, which my website helps people do that, there's the gospel there. We have a 10-point test. You can click on it. It quickly shows why evangelicalism and Lutheranism and Roman Catholic is wrong. And then we have just, I think I've encountered almost every ism in the years I've been doing this. And we just help people how to come out of those ways. All of these religions or these denominations are named after men. I just refuted a group of people. They're named after Luther. The Mennonites. Are you familiar with Amish and Mennonite? Now, we might look like Anabaptists, but we're not. But they do have some things right, biblical dress and all that. They call themselves the Mennonites. You know where that name came from? Menno Simons. He was a leader. He was a godly man in many ways. If Menno was alive today and he showed up with his name on a building, he would rebuke them and say, what are you doing? We're to lift up Christ. It would be like if I preached my whole life and in 100 years somebody's got my name stuck in a building. I never asked for that. I never taught that. I was lifting up Christ. Now they're called Jimites. I would be angry, righteous. So we see a lot of that going around, and it's really because people have not gone deep. Go deep in the scriptures, your soul is on the line. I don't know what you do for a living, but your soul's on the line, and you should know the Word of God, the truth of God, the theology of God a lot better than you know your business. Because that's going to fade.
Yeah.
One day we stand before God, and He's going to ask, did you know my Son? And did you keep my Word? And if not, it's going to be in Matthew 7. But Lord, I went to church. I did all these things, and He's going to go, away from me, I never knew you. And why does He say I never knew you? Do you know why? This is key. Not because you didn't do all this stuff exactly the way I wanted you to. Jesus says, you workers of iniquity. That means sin. They work sin. See, if you just slip into sin and you hate it and you leave it, God doesn't call you a worker. He says, you're my child, I'll cleanse you. Come on, we'll do better. If you're a worker of iniquity, that means you love sin. You practice it. Pagan holidays, feminization, worldliness, mixing the things of God with Super Bowl parties. We preached at the Super Bowl this year, second year in a row we did. I can tell you, there's nothing godly about that. There's nothing godly about that. They're waving flags for the LGBT, and it's violent, and it's immodest, and it's prideful, and it's riotous. None of this is of a holy God. So America, I have to share this real quickly. We were just preaching at the 4th of July event. We walked through the crowd with my gospel signs preaching. Got to the back of the crowd, and I don't hear God's voice, but something in my spirit just said, stop and stand here. Just, it was, you know, it's kind of like, I don't hear God's voice. I don't teach you can hear God's voice. But I believe God has an inner guidance for us, like a compass. And I just felt, stop. And I stopped, and we were standing looking around the signs, and all of a sudden this young guy from Puerto Rico comes up. He goes, hey, he comes walking up, and I was like, thank you, Father. And we talked, we have an audio of it. We talked for like 45 minutes. You can hear it, it's on the website. And you know what he said to me? He's an agnostic. He's an agnostic from Puerto Rico. And you know what he said to me? He goes, I think Americans are following a false Jesus. The guy doesn't even know if he believes in God, but he sees. He goes, the Jesus that they're following is capitalistic, violent, worldly, and compromised. He goes, how can that be the Jesus that I read about in the Bible? I said, it's not. Because he heard me preach earlier. People don't like this. I said, the 4th of July is built on killing and bloodshed over a 3% tax. England was not coming and raping the American women and pillaging them. The king said, I want more money, 3%. Now, if you and I got guns and went to Washington, D.C. and started shooting Washington up because they raised our taxes 5%, would they call us heroes or terrorists?
Terrorists.
George Washington was a deist. He didn't even believe that God cared about your everyday function.
Right.
He was a heretic. Thomas Jefferson, you know what he did? He took his Bible. This is a known fact. Look it up on the internet. He caught every word of Jesus out of his Bible. Thomas Jefferson was Antichrist, a type of Antichrist. He didn't believe Jesus was from God. And yet I go and preach, again, I get videos of it as proof, at Mount Rushmore. And I warn people, these men were not godly men. These men are heretics. That man right there is an Antichrist. But America still lifts them up. Because see, America's drunk on freedom.
Right.
America's drunk on... Sodom was judged. Everybody says, what was Sodom judged for? Do you know?
Well, everybody says for sodomy.
Right. But do you know what Isaiah actually says was there... was other of their sins? It says she was idle, prideful, full, plenty.
Sounds familiar.
Doesn't that sound like America? And that's why God, yeah, mixed with the homosexuality. And so I tell people, I say, America is ripe for the judgment of God, as is the world. But I live in America. I'm called to preach here. America is ripe for this, that you must turn from this, this idle life, this full of pride and full of plenty. Politics have merged with Christianity. It's a false Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trump is like this. We preached down in Florida at the CPAC convention. Republican National Convention. Do you know, again, I have videos of this to prove it. I don't have the gold, I don't have this on video, but you can look it up on the internet. They had a golden Trump. They were pushing it down the convention hallway. A golden Trump, like the golden calf.
Sure.
And when I stood out preaching against all of this, there are people that were calling themselves Christian. And Andrew, you know what they were waving? These flags as big as your pickup truck. They're Christians. They love God. They love country. You know what their flag says? Giant letters. F-U-C-K Bible.
Wow.
It was the most pagan display of Christianity I've ever seen standing in front of CPAC. I encourage you to go look up my street preaching videos if you want to see it. That's where the guy screamed in my ear. It was wicked. So the Trumpism is mixed with Christianity. It's been happening ever since Jerry Falwell. If you remember who he was,
right.
You're younger than me. But Jerry Falwell started that whole right with Reagan. He started with Reagan, but it's really come on. And their hope is in Constitution and freedom. And no, their hope is in Christ. And in fact, the faith has always been propagated through persecution, right? Not through plenty
right.
and more rights. Yeah, look at the rights and freedoms America's had. The gospel's dying.
Yeah, the purity of the church comes to the surface under persecution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what it is? It's like a fire. It refines, purifies, and it spits out all those false people. And that's what's coming. The persecution is coming, and they're going to have churches sign up for where you can get your 501c3, your money off. You're going to have to let in sodomites and lesbians, and you're going to have to do this or do that. And 95% of them are going to do that. The people on the outside are going to be biblical Christians. And that's when I think the mark of the beast system comes. It will be easy to separate. They're going to go, you go along with us. Here's your money, crypto. Cryptocurrency? I just did a teaching on that. That's coming. And that's going to be, once they can control your bank account and all your money, they got you. They got you. Right now, you can carry cash around, and you're free. Once they go to that crypto system and cashless, you're done. They can just press a button and erase you. Think about that. And that's what Revelation 13 and 14 talks about, the power of the Antichrist to control the masses. That is coming. I don't know how soon, but it's working its way through. Most of the Christians are going to go right along with it. And then here's another big lie, the pre-trib rapture. I've got articles on this. All these Christians, because of the Tim LaHaye Left Behind book series, they all think that Jesus is going to come and pluck us out when all the bad stuff happens. Can you go back in the Bible? Can you read any saint that ever just got plucked out and never was persecuted, didn't have to go to death? They all had to suffer. Now, Enoch was taken up. Okay, I know that. A few were. But the vast majority went through the persecution, right? Doesn't that make sense? And so Jesus is coming at the end of the tribulation. He says it in Matthew 24. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15. At the last trump, he returns. So we don't have to, true Christians won't suffer God's wrath. You notice how Israel was protected from the wrath that was coming against Egypt?
Right.
Right? We're going to be protected from God's wrath. You know what I'm going to have to stand against? And you, if you're a true believer, Satan's wrath. He's coming for us. And how we stand against him is what's going to glorify the Father. And it cost us everything. It cost us our heads. And that will be the true dividing line. Revelation 11:12, I love this verse. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the word of their testimony. And the last part is awesome. They love not their life unto death. If you love this life, this world, this country, your freedoms, you don't have the love of God in you. 1 John 2:15. You've been so gracious, man.
Hey,
hope I spoke life into you.
Yeah.
Contact me sometime if you need encouragement, if you want to challenge anything. I love it. I want to be tested. And let me know I can help you in your faith. We're always looking to disciple people long distance. We'll Bible study with people. And we'll just encourage people, lift them up, keep pointing them to Christ. And we don't be a burden to anybody. We don't want nothing from you. We want to encourage you.
All right. Thank you very much.
God be praised.